my mindset is more about the land and trying to maximise the benefits and the return from that land.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Torrin Shum, and in this episode, we're back speaking with multiple business owner and seasoned investor, Steve Stemp. Keep listening to find out more about his investment strategies, his businesses, and the resources he used to inform and condition his mindset. As we heard in the previous episode with Stemp, his first investment was a 4-acre block of land, which ended up being a great investment simply due to good timing.
That had no improvements, no house. It was a 4-acre piece of land which had which was fenced. It was in a rural setting. So, as I say, it was my first property purchase, and it was off emotion. I thought it was a good idea.
However, Stemp knows future investments require a lot more knowledge and strategy.
It turned out that it was a good idea, but things have definitely changed in my mindset towards trying to maximise the benefit or try and unlock the value of land or property. So I look at land now, and dual key is pretty much a case in point. Dual Key Homes now puts together land and house and try to maximise the benefit out of that one block of land. So, two income streams, positive cash flow positions. The way of the past was, negative gearing, and you only have to tip in this much amount of money each week. Just trying to provide a better vehicle, and so that you don't have to tip in money each week, so that it can meet the commitment of the interest payment, that it can meet the commitment of the expenses of the property. So my mindset is more about the land and trying to maximise the benefits and the return from that land.
As he's been investing for so long, Stemp typically holds onto his properties before looking into developing them.
I've held property currently, but in the most part, I've maximised the benefits from the land purchase and developed and moved on and sold. So there was a bit that was a business that was working alongside of the mortgage, the lending business. So I'm going to be doing a development in the new year, just having a bit of a struggle with one car park. So I'm doing a development on the Gold Coast, which that was a property that I've held since the late 90s. So looking to put together a three-story, five unit development there. So we're almost got the DA in place for that. So I'm excited about doing that one in the coming year.
Stemp describes his current portfolio and its worth.
Currently, 6 properties. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. And approximate ballpark figure on that would be about 3.5 million in personal holdings.
Another aspect of his strategy, apart from developing, is to hold properties that aren't costing him.
The one that I just spoke about previously, I'm looking forward to putting the 5-unit development on the coast here. So currently there's two properties, well, 2 buildings. It's a duplex on that property. So that's definitely going to be a good outcome in terms of equity position and self-servicing of of the lending. I'll continue to hold that one. Wherever I've got a position where it's not costing, they're my holds.
Stent believes his mindset and strategy are products of his early work experience with developers.
That stems directly from my introduction into real estate when I was selling to the developers and then chose to do it myself. So there was a message there in the early stages that said that the value had the land has a value, and it's a matter of maximizing that position.
Stemp evaluates why he entered into real estate and investment.
I think I've always been comfortable with real estate. It's been the security position. Always been able to, if need be, to sell it. Proviso on that is the mining towns and areas that you don't know, but most of the assets or all the other assets held have always been in areas where there's good infrastructure, employment and parks and schools and everything that else that supports a good asset. So always good position to be able to leverage off those properties. So it allows you the ability to purchase other good investments. So properties, it's just been stable and you pretty much can bank on it.
Having started buying so young, Stemp didn't face the challenge that some people in that position would today. But he still has a strategy for the current market.
Because I started at that young age, I had confidence in property because it was a good outcome. I think the only thing that was restricting, and I think it's restricting for anybody investing, is, you know, are the banks going to support? You know, at some point you come to an end in terms of, to your income. Is your income, what's your maximum lending position? So that would be the only restriction in terms of, but that certainly wasn't a mindset. It was just the ability. If I could do it then at the time, then I would do it. And again, that goes back to dual key. So providing a product where you're actually in front of the interest curve is a better proposition going forward than having to be in a negative gear position, which has taken more income stream away from you. So if you want to move forward to get further property, then it can become difficult with the lending position. Depending on your incomes.
Stemp shares in more detail exactly the goal of his company, Dual Key, for his clients.
Dual Key, it's been established since 2016, so it's relatively new. It's been established primarily to provide an investment property vehicle for positive cash flow. So in areas of growth. So we're based in. We're based in southeast Queensland, so we concentrate on property from the Gold Coast through to the Sunshine Coast, and we're looking to put together properties that are supported by, you know, good infrastructure and low rental positions and positive gearing.
His specialty is in dual occupancy homes under single title.
So the difference between the dual key is that there's one title, two dwellings with a common firewall. One side could be a three-bedroom, the other side could be a two-bedroom or one-bedroom or four-bedroom, two-bedroom. So one set of rates, but two income streams on one title. So a duplex, is the two dwellings, but each has got an individual title. We do duplexes, triplexes, and dual keys. So we're looking to maximise that benefit, as I say, out of the block of land, and ensure that it's supported by, you know, good infrastructure around it.
This isn't the common duplex scenario, nor a house and granny flat situation.
common is that it's they're side by side. It'll look like a duplex with a common wall, but it's on one title. That's what a dual key or a dual occupancy dwelling is. So I suppose in just to give you an idea, if you know a package up here, $490,000, and so the costs were $10,000 to purchasing costs. So let's just say for round numbers, we had $500,000 investment. You'd look at it getting about $620 a week for that. So it'd be $380 for the three bedroom and $240 for the two bedroom on each side. So that reflects about a 6.5% return. So $32,000 thereabouts a year. And then if you borrowed the loan at, say, 4.5%, if it was P&I, you can do a little bit better. And for interest only, you can do a little bit better rates there. But that would be, you know, $22,500 a year for the interest payment. So we've got a $10,000 head start, and obviously then we take out the rates, insurance, landlord insurance, and managing agent. So we can put, you could be holding that property. We're minimizing the risk. So if one tenant goes, you haven't got your full vacancy position. So we're minimizing the risk, putting the property into a positive cash flow position, and anchoring it into an area that is supported with infrastructure.
Yeah, and that's great because, you know, from day one, it's positive cash flow. Therefore, it can cover itself without us having to put any more money into it.
That's right. And that makes it easier for your investors moving forward, that it's actually not a drain on your income or your primary income, that you're actually in a positive position. So, as I said earlier, with the banks over the past few months, they're tightening, and where the Royal Commission, how that all ends up and how the banks react is going to be, watch this space, because there's certainly tightening going on. And having a negative cash flow investment position is, you know, not going to assist going forward.
Stamp reminds us why the areas in these properties are ideal investments.
And I think the perception for the area of where dual key homes is based, that, you know, Brisbane and southeast Queensland's very affordable in comparison to, you know, the big cities of Sydney and Melbourne currently. So, you know, packages, you know, around that $500,000 and returning 6.5% up to 7% in some interest, it's quite incentivizing. So Brisbane hasn't had a lot of growth over since the few years, but it's been slow and it's been steady and it's been stable growth. But you know, the government's going to be spending some big spend shortly on infrastructure in around that Brisbane City area. So I think it's just positive signs for that area.
Coming up after the break, we'll explore the ways that Steve Stamp developed his mindset and strategy over the years.
I did have mentors. They came in, I didn't sort them as such, but they, for whatever reason, they came into my life.
Other places he sourced his information from?
That's a real good overhead overview of, you know, what's happening in the marketplace. You know, where's the oversupply? Where's the undersupply?
What he'll be looking forward to in the near future?
I'm excited about that property journey. I think it will be successful.
All that and much more coming up next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Like many others, Stemp had mentors that helped him on his investment journey.
They came in, I didn't sort them as such, but they, for whatever reason, they came into my life. One was a developer who was working for a bank at the time, and the other fellow became my partner in Swift Home Loans, retired since, but both were in the banks. Both very conservative, both very ethical people, and they were really, really good guides in terms of keeping me grounded and understanding numbers and how properties worked. They were definitely the mentors. After those gentlemen, then it's people that have come into my life, and I respect them in terms of their business and their acumen and their you know, professionals in their field. So I've got people around me that I trust. And you can't, unless you need to have those in you need to have those in your life. They need to be there. So even if it's only just to bounce off your views and your ideas and get some feedback from them.
He also reads up on reports to give him further knowledge in investment and business skills.
I'm not a real big book reader as such, Tyrone. When I do pick up a book, I have read that Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and did get a lot out of that because I could sort of see, you know, from my dad's position where, I could sort of relate to that book, and also the Richard Branson's some of the issues and challenges he had on his journey through, really, really good reflective information. Outside of that, I read a lot of, reports, property reports, valuers reports, trying to keep constant in the market and see where the trends and the shifts may be going.
His position being in the finance sector gives him access to reports that are helpful to him.
Well, fortunately enough, being in finance, we get sent the, all of the primary valuers that put out their reports on a three-monthly basis, sometimes a six-monthly basis, but that's a real good overhead overview of, what's happening in the marketplace, where's the oversupply, where's the undersupply. They're a very good source and where they see the trends going. When we're in finance itself, when you get valuations coming through and the comments that they're making in specific areas as well, in terms of market, oversupply, vacancy rates. So they're the type of reports I like to dig into.
Yeah. Is that something that the public can get access to if there's any recommendations, or is it something that only mortgage you?
I'm quite sure that they could. I could go to the websites of the property valuers that are pretty much the mainstream across the lenders. I'm pretty sure that they do make those reports available.
He explains how useful these reports are to him.
It covers covers residential, commercial, industrial, but my interest is residential real estate. So it just puts the warnings out in the event of, if you were wanting to buy a unit in the last couple of years in Brisbane, you probably wouldn't, because of the oversupply that's in the city, but that's working its way through. So that sort of information for someone who wants to invest is great, is ideal.
Stent reveals the best advice he's ever received.
Best advice I've ever received. Hold assets if they're not costing you, and you make your profit at the point of the purchase. A lot of people think you're making the money at the end when you realize the sale. But if you purchase correctly, that's when you've done yourself a good service. You've done a good deal.
Stemp's personal habits reinforce what he believes about surrounding yourself with good support.
I know I've said it previously, but I think it's just about relationships and mentors and getting good people beside you that you can just sound off of, and someone that you can respect the advice that they're giving you, and then research that. But my habits, I just like forming good relationships, and you know, with ethical, professionals in the industry, and I don't know if that's answering the question in terms of a habit, but that's I'm just big on good relationships.
If Steve Stamp met himself 10 years ago, he'd have this advice to give.
I would have said, don't buy real estate that's the underlying value of it is industry and one specific industry is like the mining industry. And if you are and you have fully researched it, maybe not go in, just dip your toes and don't do what I did, because there's a little bit of pain that goes along the way when you do that. So yeah, definitely the last 10 years I've bought real estate that were underpinned by specific industries, and if white spot for example, and if that specific industry turns belly up, then that has a direct effect on your asset.
Instead, he would advise himself to
buy in infrastructure. Come if you want, conservative approach to investing with long-term gain, stay in the infrastructure. So stay where the employment is, stay where the schools are, the private schools, the sporting clubs, the rail, stay in the infrastructure. Your asset, is it going to double in 7 years? I don't know, but it's surely going to hold its position if there's employment there, and there will be steady growth. And if you can purchase property and it's not costing you anything, then that's really a blue chip investment.
Stem has a lot to look forward to in the next 5 years of his investment journey.
In the next 5 years, I'm excited about what... personally, I'm looking forward to next year to develop the property on the Gold Coast, and I'm excited about Dual Key Homes. It's getting good traction. People are, as we sell our message into the marketplace, we're using a digital platform. Dual Key Homes it provides property that is a good investment in the right areas, positive cash flow, I'm excited about that property journey. I think it will be successful.
He recognises the challenges upcoming in the market and the opportunities it will provide.
I think the biggest challenge in the short term is definitely the banking industry. It's already adjusted. It's adjusting, and it's adjusted over the last 3 or 4 months, and I believe it'll be adjusting even further. So they're going to be tightening. So if you've got the ability to invest in growth areas, and the bank allows you to be able to do that, then I think you'll get better returns in that real estate market than there will be in leaving the money in the bank.
Stemp acknowledges that both luck and skill played a role in his investment success.
At the start, it was luck. It was definitely luck. I would like to think that, my background in finance and the properties over my time, I've got a fair knowledge of what to do and what not to do. I definitely know what not to do. I think I've moved more into the skill and knowledgeable area. I would like to think so.
If you're interested in getting in contact with Steve Stamp, here's how.
Probably best if they come onto the Dual Key Homes website, which is www.dualkeyhomes.com. That's not a .au on the end, .com. And then they can just make contact, push the contact bar, and then put their name and just leave a little message in there that they had listened to the podcast, or you know that and that they can ask for me to make contact with them. I'll be more than happy to do so. Love to have a chat and share some more experiences.
Thank you so much to Steve Stamp for joining us on this episode of Property Investory. If you want to hear more about his journey, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com.